Today's shiur is Masechta Zvachim Daf Lamed Hey. We will begin on Daf Lamed Dalar Mabeis, five lines from the bottom, Gufa. Gufa Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Just to quickly remind ourselves, at the end of the previous shiur, the Gemara introduced a concept, a sugya that we've discussed previously, and that is the sugya of the Chuyim. If something becomes rejected, doesn't remain rejected forever. And the Gemara taught us that even if one subscribes to the concept of the Chuyin, if it was something that could be rectified, kol shebiyadei l'saken, it's not considered the Chuyin. So we learned that Rabbi Yehuda taught us one of the examples was where a Karban Pesach is slaughtered. And we know for a carbon to be considered a valid carbon, we have to have Zerikas Adam. And there's a concern, which we'll discuss at length soon, that perhaps the dam, the blood of a carbon, was missed, wasn't Nizrak on the Mizbeach. And therefore, they would scoop up a cup of blood from the floor, Erev Pesach, and do one more Zerika to make sure that there was a proper Zerikas Adam for all the carbonus, and every carbon therefore was effective. While that dam was on the floor, it was dachui, it was not usable. From here we see that even though it's dachui, since it's fixable, it's rectifiable, it's not considered dachui. And the Gemara picks up on that sugya. Gufa Tanya Yehuda Omer, Kais Echer Hayimal Dam Ataravis, they would fill up a cup from the dam that was on the floor of the Azara, from all the carbon Pesach that was slaughtered, Shem Yishofech Echemehem, if the blood of one of those carbonus was spilled on the floor without having Zrik Saddam, by doing this Zrika, Nimsa Shemach Shiroi, we're going to have a proper Heksha. Omloi Rabbi Yehuda, so the Chacham said to Rabbi Yehuda, V'loi Loi Neskava B'Kli, we learned that when Kedam be taken off the floor of the Azara and be used, if the dam was first in a keli, it went from the neck of the animal into a keli, and then it spilled from the keli onto the floor. But if it went directly from the neck of the animal to the floor, that dam can't be used. So ask the Gemara, that dam went from the neck to the floor, so how are we trying to use that dam to fix the Zrikas Adam? For loyal in the Skabu B'Kli, says the Gemara, Mana Yadi. And how the Chacham so sure that they could say to Rabbi Yehuda that this dam went directly from the neck onto the floor? Maybe what happened was that it wasn't a keli and went onto the floor. Rather, says the Gemara, what the Rabbanan are saying to Rabbi Yehuda. What are you telling us, says the Rabbanan to Rabbi Yehuda, that this is what should be done? Shemeloi neskabel b'keli. Maybe this dam wasn't, the dam that they're scooping up from the floor was never in a keli. And if it's never in a kli, it can't be used for kli sharis. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question, they're saying to him, this entire exercise may be a useless exercise if the stam wasn't first on in the kli before it fell to the floor. That's how Rashi learns. Other Rishonim learn, it's even a greater concern. Because if the dam that's in the kli is dam that was never in a kli before it fell to the floor, or if that's the way, or that's how most of the dam that's on the floor got there. So we're going to have mostly non-usable dam. So how can we take a cup full of dam that's essentially non-usable and use it to fix a possible problem? Amalahem. So Rabbi Yehuda responds, Afni Loyamarti, I am only speaking about Kishneskaya B'Keli. Of course the dam first was in a keli. Your concern, says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbanon, that perhaps the dam was never in the keli before it fell to the floor, is not a concern. I know that it was always in the keli first. Ask the Gemara, where's Rabbi Yehuda so certain to know that from? Answers the Gemara, Kahanim's reason. The Kahanim has reason, and the Kahanim makes sure that there is no dam that doesn't come out from the neck into the keli that doesn't go directly onto the floor from the neck. However, What does happen is that in the great rush of Erev Pesach, the dam, even though it was promptly received in the keli, spills out from the keli onto the floor. Ask the Gemara, but there's another concern. As we've been learning, the Rabbanan say to Rabbi Yehuda, as we've been learning, when an animal is slaughtered, the dam ha-nefesh, the lifeblood that comes out, is the only dam that could be used for the Zrikas Adam. But any other dam that comes out afterwards, which is known as the dam ha-tamsis, cannot be used for Zrikas Adam. Ask the Gemara, for like dam ha-tamsis, all that blood that spills from the neck onto the floor is also on the floor. So isn't there dam ha-tamsis m'urabai mixed together in this cup? So why shouldn't that dam be disqualified and not usable to do the zrika that we're trying to use to rectify if any zrikas were missed? Answers the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion. Dama dama tamsis kari dam. The dama tamsis is also called dam. The Tanya, as we learned a machloikis in a braisa, dama tamsis bazhara. The Tanakama says that even though normally we know the halacha is, as we'll see in a second, for eating dam, there's a chiv karis. Says the Tanakama that he holds the dam tamsis only carries with it a chiv lav, only carries with it a chiv malchus. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, holds there's a chiv karis. So it's considered full-fledged dam. So that's why your concern, says Rabbi Yehuda to Rabbanan, that there's dam tamsis here, I consider dam tamsis full-fledged dam. Ask the Gemara, even if Rabbi Yehuda considers dam ha-tamsis full-fledged dam, Varma Belezer, my Rabbi Yehuda l'inyan kapara, when we speak about kapara, the dam ha-tamsis is not mechaper, she'ena mechaper, she'nem dam she'nefesh yoitzba kari dam, only dam ha-nefesh is considered dam for the zrik sadam, she'ena nefesh yoitzba ena kari dam. So we're back to where we started. Even if dam ha-tamsis is halachically considered dam as far as the isser of consuming dam, it hasn't changed the facts that we have a problem here. It says the Gemara, El Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda is following his opinion, that says that even if you have indeed dam ha-tamsis on the floor, and like we're saying, dam ha-tamsis, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, cannot be used for zrikas adam, still, Rabbi Yehuda holds, ein dam vatal dam. If you'll have a cup that will have in it dam tamsis and dam nefesh, that's dam tamsis doesn't bother me. Ain't dam mevatel dam, and therefore goes through this exercise. Continues the Gemara. And this is the way I think we need to understand the Gemara. There is no dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim over what actually occurred on Erev Pesach. That they would plug up the drain of the Azara, that there should be dam on the floor. So Rabbi Yehuda has just explained why he feels they did so. In order, as we just finished explaining, in case that they skipped doing the Zrik Saddam, they could fix it, so to speak. But according to Rabbi the Chachamim, who have been challenging Rabbi Yehuda, so why would they clog up the drainage? That's what the Gemara says. Amalem Rabbi Yehuda l'derechem, lama paki ken azara. You hold that nothing is accomplished by doing this new Zrika. So why would they clog up the drainage? Amlo shvachu l'bnei Aaron shehalchu ad ha-kvasein b'dam. It's a gvalda gazach, he says, on Erev Pesach, we recall the Gemara Pesachim, Perek Avi Pesachim, that describes how so many carbon Pesachs were brought on Erev Pesach. There were so many members of Klal Yisrael singing Hallel, bringing carbon Pesach, and so many Kohanim involved. And there was obviously a lot of blood. To show that there's so much blood on the floor from all the carbon Pesachs, that's a shvach. And that's why we specifically clog up the drain for that reason. In fact, the Chassam Sofer says that it's very common that before Sukkos, a person goes out of the way to find the most beautiful esrog, a clean esrog. But the esrog is a delicate fruit. And it comes after the first ayyantav, where you held the esrog for the nanuim, and perhaps you gave it to other family members to do the mitzvah of dalaminim. And the esrog, because so many people touched it, gets spots on it. So here you have your beautiful Esrog that's full of spots. So he says, it's not considered a problem. On the contrary, it's like our Gemara says, a mitzvah, something that was done from a mitzvah, isn't to be viewed as something not nice, something moss. On the contrary, it's beautiful. And I saw that the Sfarim explain it, because this is really part of our entire theology. The theology of Klal Yisrael is that we take something that's even moss, that we view as something not nice. Dam is probably a great example of something that most people don't consider nice. Many people don't like the sight of blood. And we take dam and use it as a vehicle for shvach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is our job, to take everything to use for keli for avodas Hashem. Ask the Gemara, fine. There's a tremendous lesson to be learned. But there's still an issue. For dam have a chatzitza. The dam is a chatzitza that gets on the kohen's feet and on the floor. So how could they have dam there? Answers the Gemara, lachu, the dam is still wet. When it's wet, it's not considered a chatzitza. The Tanam, as the Mishnah teaches us, hadam, hadyoy is ink, hadvash is honey, cholov is milk. Yevashin, when they're dry, chaytzin, they're considered chatzitza. However, when they're lachin, when they're moist, ain't chaytzin. So there's an interesting Ramah. The Ramah says that if you have a moel who has blood on his fingers from doing the mitzvah smila, or a shaychet who has blood on his fingers from doing the shchita, or even a painter, probably the most common situation, that has dried on paint on his fingers, it's not considered a chatzitza. Because it's common for these people to have blood or paint on their fingers dried on. Ask the Mefarshim on the Ramah that our Gemara just taught us, that they're only not a chatzitza when they're moist, but when they're dry, it's a chatzitza. So how could the Ramah say it's not a chatzitza? So the simple teretz of how to explain the Ramah is that the Kayin is a kohen for a couple of days a year, he does the avodah. So he really doesn't, dam to him is not something that he normally has on his body. So for him, dam is a chatzitza. But a person who's a painter, a moil, a shaychet, they do this all year round. So for them, since it's common, it's not a chatzitza. It's one way of understanding the Ramah. The Beis Shlaima has a different approach. The Beis Shlaima says as follows. When is dam considered a chatzitza? He says, dam is considered a chatzitza. It's never chatzitza, wet or dry, moist or dry, when it's in the person's hand. Here there's a different problem. The problem is, and we spoke about this in the previous parakim, that the kohen has to be standing on the ritzpah itself. If there's anything in between the kohen and the ritzpah, it's considered chatzitza and disqualifies the avodah. So for that din, the Gemara is teaching us that if the kohen is standing on moist dam, it's not considered that it's a chatzitza between the kohen and the ritzpah. If it's dried onto the ritzpah, then it's considered as a chatzitza between the kohen and the ritzpah. But as far as on the body itself, even if it's dry, since it's just a small amount that the person doesn't care about, it wouldn't be chatzitza even when it's dried on, and that's pshat in the Ramah. But then the Pesach can go on to discuss that perhaps our Gemara that we're learning now is an answer to a question that we've discussed previously. We've discussed that what is the halacha if somebody takes a shower or goes to the mikveh right before he goes to daven shacharis and put on tefillin? Is his wet hair, the water that's left in his hair, is it considered a chatzitza? So our Gemara seems to clearly indicate that if it's still moist, it's not a chatzitza, so it shouldn't be a problem. Because if your hair is still wet, it's water, and moist water, the Gemara said, is not a chatzitza. If it's already dry, so certainly not a shayla. So don't we have an answer to the question that we once asked? And indeed, there are poskim that say that this Gemara clearly is an indication that if somebody takes a shower, goes to the mikveh, and comes to daven right away, wet hair, no problem. However, I saw that the Birkei Yosef says it's still a problem. He says, not because of hilchas chatzitza. Because as far as hilchas chatzitza are concerned, we've already effectively proven that if it's still moist, it's not a chatzitza. He says by tefillin, there's a new halacha. There's a halacha that the tefillin have to be directly on the hair. Tefillin shel rosh. Tefillin shel yad have to be directly on the hand. So even if, as far as hilchas chatzitz are concerned, we have no concern here, but we still have a concern because it's not directly on your hand. It's not directly on your head. The water prevents that from happening, and therefore it will not be, it's not the way to wear tefillin. And there's a gevaldik raya to the Brik Yosef Svart. But there are people, I have that minute, that on the tefillin shel yad, they make a shin on top of their elbow. So now you have a very interesting situation. You have the backs of the tefillin shel yad, and you have three times that you're tying straps. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you have to be very careful that the backs of the tefillin should be directly on your hand and not on top of the ritzus. So now the question is, we know that min b'minoy, if two things are made out of the same material, it's not considered a chitzitza. So why is there a problem if your tefillin shel yad backs will be on top of the straps of leather? This is leather and that's leather. So it's not a chitzitza anyway. What's the answer? Correct. As far as hilchas chitzitza is concerned, you have no concern. But now we learned the Brik Yosef taught us a new, and the Mishnah Berurah obviously agrees. The Brik Yosef taught us a new halacha. That there's a din that the tefillin have to be directly on your hand, even if there is no concern of chatzitza. So therefore, you have to be very careful that the tefillin box should be directly on your hand and not on top of the leather straps. And therefore, perhaps, even if there's water on your hand, as far as hilchas chatzitza, as we're learning now in the Gemara, it's not a concern, but there's still a concern as far as hilchas tefillin are concerned. Says the Gemara, but there's still another problem. Even if we've avoided the problem of chatzitza, the big day kohanim get dirty from the blood. V'tanana, we've learned previously, if the kohen's begadim are dirty, he does the avoda that way, his avoda is disqualified. So we have that concern. I, says the Gemara, v'chitayim the madluhu, will suggest that the kohen picks up the beged and does the avoda that way. Betanya, we've learned previously, midoy k'midasoy, that the begadim have to be according to the size of the kohen. Shloyachsa v'shloyachsa, they shouldn't be too short and too long. So he shouldn't pick it up. And as Tosfos explains, we've learned that by sticking the begad into the avnate, it's considered like you cut the begad. And the Sfasems takes it a step further. Even if we'll say that there's a mandama, we learned the sugya extensively, that holds that putting it into the bag, putting it into the avnate, does or doesn't, perhaps doesn't consider like you cut it. That's only in a case, says the Sfas Emes, where you have the option of taking it out of the avnate. But here the kohen doesn't have the option of taking it out of the avnate. Why? Because if he's going to take it out of the avnate, it's going to get dirty. And the such circumstances explains the Sfas Emes. Everybody agrees it's as if you cut the beged. And if you cut the beged is too short. We're learning that if the beged is too short, it's no good. So I saw Gevalde Gevart from the Binyan Shloima. He says, this din that we learned of Midai, that the beggar has to be the right fit for the Kayin, by which avoida does the Torah teach us this din? By the avoida of Truma Sadeshin, where they clear the ash. We spoke about the avoida every day. So I asked the Binyan Shloima, why from all the avoidas does the Torah choose to teach us by this avoida? So he says, a Gevalde Gevart. He says, there's really a question if Trumas Hadeshin is considered an Avoida. It's not clear if Trumas Hadeshin is considered an Avoida. Lamai Nafkamina. Because as we've learned and we've discussed and we'll discuss, the Avnate of the Big Dekuna was made out of Shatnas, according to some Shitas. So if the Kohen is obligated to wear the Dalit, the Begadim, so then the Torah says, wear the Big Dekuna, you don't have to worry about Shatnas. As the Dechel Oysa say. But if the kohen is not obligated to wear the avnate, then he can't wear the avnate because it's wearing shatnas. So if we're not sure that Trumas Hadeshin is an avoida, so the kohen wasn't allowed to wear the avnate during the Trumas Hadeshin because he may be wearing kliyim with no permission. So by what avoida didn't he wear the avnate? By Trumas Hadeshin. So That's, so he didn't have an option of sticking his beggar into the avnet. He wasn't wearing it. That's what the Torah says, kimidasai. You have to make sure during that avoid that the beggar with fits properly. Says the Gemara, when did they have the azara full of dam? When they carried the organs of the animal to the ramp, the lava vaidahi. So it doesn't make a difference at that point if it gets dirty or whatever. Ask the Gemara v'loy, is that not considered an avoida? V'tanyu v'hikra koinus akol zu halachas avram l'kevis, that it is considered an avoida. Says the Gemara, ela b'alachas etzel maracha. When did they walk in the blood? When they were carrying the wood to the mizbeach. That everybody agrees, the lav avoida he, and doesn't bother me if they get dirty. But ask the Gemara, fine. They could walk in the blood during that avoida. What about the rest of the time? The whole azara is full of blood. How did they get around? Ulavoida hecha azli, because they can't walk in the blood. As we learned, it's good, the problem with the bigde kahuna. Answers the Gemara, azlei it's the boy. And as the Rishayim explained, they made pillars out of stone around the azara, and they walked on top of the pillars. If they would have made them out of wood, given that the ritzpah of the azara is made out of stone, wood cannot be considered an extension of the ritzpah, because this is stone and this is wood. But they made metal, they made stone pillars extending from the ritzpah. Stone pillars extending from the ritzpah is considered an extension of the ritzpah, a legitimate extension of the ritzpah. That's why they could walk on those stones. Says the Mishnah, Hashoich HaZevach, if somebody shechs a carbon, Lechel, dovish ain't dark lechel, to eat something which is normally not eaten, or lahakdir, with the intention of chutzlus manuel chutzlum kaimai, fahaktar of dovish ain't dark lahakdir, kashim. And as Rishonim point out, that this, number one, this rule is not only by shchita, the same halacha applies by Kabbalah, halacha, and zrika. The only reason the Mishnah spoke about shchita, because shchita is the first avoida. And furthermore, the Rishonim point out, there's really nothing new that we haven't learned previously. The reason the Mishnah teaches us this halacha, because it's introduction to teach us the next halacha, the opinion of Rabbi Lezer, whom we've encountered previously. Rabbi Lezer Paisel. Rabbi Lezer holds that even if he had in mind lechel davish ein dak lahakter, or lahakter davish ein dak lahakter, it's still going to be pekel. Continues the Mishnah. Lechel davish dak lahechel, or lahakter davish dak lahakter, pox mikazayis. If you had in mind less than a kazayis, it's kosher. And as I've mentioned previously, there is no issue of chatzi shir. Some explain because there's no issue of chatzi shir only by midat achila. Or the other pshat that I've quoted previously, very nice pshat, that we only say chatzi shir osim in a Torah on something that's already osir. In other words, a piece of non-kosher meat is osir. Chatzi shir osim in a Torah says that even if you ate less than a kazayis of that non-kosher meat, you did an avera. But here we're creating an Isser. You can't create an Isser with less than a shear. Continues the Mishnah. Lechel kechatzizayis, lahak techatzizayis. To eat the chatzizayis and to be mak the chatzizayis, kosher. She'en achil v'aktar mitzdarfin. So Rishonim ask that why does the Mishnah have to teach us this halacha? That achil and haktar don't combine. We've already learned previously, we learned the whole sugya, the last blot of the previous parak, that teaches us achil v'aktara are not mitzdarif. So what is new here in the Mishnah that we haven't learned previously? So I saw a number of answers. One answer is that the chiddush is that even Rebbe Lezer, who's machmer, we started the Mishnah with the sheet of Rebbe Lezer that says even lechel dovish ein da'ak lechel, or lahak the dovish ein da'ak lahakter, so he's a machmer, he still agrees to the rule that a chatzizayis is not a problem. Or an extension of that teretz, another version of that teretz, that Rebbe Lezer, not only who's a machmer at the beginning of the Mishnah, subscribes that chatzizayis is not a problem, but even agrees that achil and akhtara don't combine, because we would think that Rebbe Lezer at least would agree that achil and akhtara should combine. Kamashmon, that as much as a machmer that Rebbe Lezer is, he's not that much of a machmer. A third pshat that I saw, a very interesting pshat, that the Mishnah is teaching us a very bechiddush. When do achil and haktara not combine? They strictly don't combine when you had in mind achila and aktara. But let's say you had in mind lechol dover shadak lachol, ulechol dover shadak lachter. So when you verbalized your machshava on the aktara, you didn't use the word aktara, you verbalized the word achila. There's those that want to say the Rambam will agree that then it is mitzdarf. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Only an achila and a haktara wording on that mitzdarf. But achila v'achila, even though this is achilas mizbeach and this is achilas adam, would be mitzdarf. A very big chiddush l'chumra. Continues the Mishnah. Hashachar says zevach lechol kazayis min or. Somebody had a mind to eat skin, which we learned skin is not edible. Although I sort of was trying to point out, going back to the sugi that we learned in the previous parak, that we learned that the or takas alya, the skin under the tail is edible, so that's not the or the Mishnah is speaking about. Umina roitiv. Roitiv is the gravy. And the gravy is not considered basar. So I saw that the Mefarshim asked, that why is roitiv not considered basar? Let's think about it. If somebody comes home tonight for supper, and his wife is cooking meat, and he takes a spoonful of gravy, he won't be fleishiks? And chas v'sham, somebody eats a spoonful of non-kosher meat, it's not considered that he ate macholos asuris? We know, we're going to learn, mitzvah masech techulun, that there's a concept of tam kicker. So the gravy has the tam of the meat. So why is the Mishnah saying that roitiv is not considered basar? So some explain the tam ki'ikr is not a chiyiv karis, it's only a chiyiv lav. Some want to say that there's a difference between solid tam ki'ikr and liquid tam ki'ikr. Very difficult to rutsim. The teretz that I saw from Chaim Brisker, and we're going to learn the sugya with that approach, is Reb Chaim says that of course roitiv is part of the carbon, and of course if you ate roitiv that you're not supposed to eat, you ate macholos asuris. But there's a new din. There's a din that pigle only is on guf hazevach, the real carbon. And the roitiv is not considered guf hazevach. And anything that's not considered guf hazevach, the halachas of pigle do not apply to. Umin akipa. Here too there are a number of pshatim akipa. One pshat akipa is that it's the spices that are in the pot in which you cook the meat. And that the spices, again, are not considered the real carbon. Beautiful pshat. Another pshat, which is a bigger chiddush, is the kippah, is that sometimes when you cook meat, at the bottom of the pot, there's like small pieces of meat that disconnect, very small threads of meat. And again, we have to use Reb Chaim's mahalach, that's not considered guf hazevach, and since it's not considered guf hazevach, it's not considered, the dinner pigle doesn't apply to it. So I saw a fascinating, I saw a tremendous vart. The Vart goes as follows. The Minig Yerushalayim was that when they used to eat meal, when they used to eat the meal, they used to first eat the meat and then eat the soup. Which we know, I mean, I'm not a chef, but everybody knows usually when you eat a meal, first you have the soup and then you have the main dish. And then Yerushalayim, the Minig was just the opposite. Why? So they say the basis of that Minig is this Mishnah. Because our Mishnah is teaching us that all the halachas of pigle and nicer and tameh don't apply to the soup, to the gravy. They only apply to the meat itself. In Yerushalayim, it was very common that they would eat kachim. And they had to watch the clock, that it shouldn't become nicer. And they had to make sure that the meat shouldn't become tameh, because once the meat becomes tameh, chas v'shalom, we're going to learn, we learned, you're not allowed to eat it. So they were careful to eat the meat before the soup, because of this Mishnah. Umin alal. Many pshatim and what alal is. We're going to learn with Rashi's pshat. Alal means the veins, the gidin. And gidin not considered meat of the carbon. There are others that explain when alal is that sometimes when they cut off the flesh, the skin from the animal, pieces of meat are connected to it. Other Rishonim I saw say that alal means dead flesh, dead meat. But we're going to learn simple pshat, like Rashi, that's the gidin. Umenat samas a bone, umenat gidim, or veins. So the Mefarshim ask, if Rashi is correct, and we're learning with Rashi's pshat, that halal means gidim, so why does the Mishnah repeat itself a minute later but saying the word in a gidim? So they explain, according to Rashi, that halal is a vein by the neck. And it's a very tough vein. So if the Mishnah only said Alal, or if the Mishnah only said Agidim, we would think that only that tough gid is not considered Basar. But the other veins of the animal, which are softer, are considered Basar. By the Mishnah mentioning both Alal and Gidim, is teaching us that both the very tough veins and even the less tough veins are all not considered Basar, and the Halacha Pigel does not apply to them. Umina Tilfayim, Mina Karnayim are the horns, Mina Tilfayim are the hoofs, and again, the Rishonim explain it's not the hoofs themselves, because the hoofs themselves are not edible, it's pieces of meat that may be connected to the hoof. If he had a machshava of chutz l'zmano, yichutz l'mekayim on any of these pieces, kasha. Ben chayavin alayim, as we learned before, on any of these pieces, mishum pigal nois v'tamei. Continues the Mishnah, hashaychas ha-mugdashim lechel shlil or shilya. Somebody shechs a carbon with the intention to eat the shlil is the fetus that may be in the womb of this animal that's being slaughtered. Or the shilya is the sack in which the fetus is kept with the machshava pigal, a b'chutz la pigal. So ask the mefarshim, that many times in Shas there is a concept of uba yerech imai. So if uba yerech imai, so why isn't the shlil neshilya considered part of the carbon? So they say a beautiful vart. Uba yerech imai teaches us that whatever, and this will be very relevant in the Gemara in a moment, is that whatever rule applies to the mother also applies to the uber. The uber follows the mother. But the mother doesn't follow the uber. And therefore the shlil and shilya are not considered independent enough that a machshava on them should make the carbon into pigal. Hamalik is a tyrant. We know that in the base of Migdash that when they slaughtered a bird, they didn't do shkita, they did malika. Says the Mishnah, Malik is a tyrant. Lechal be'im b'chutz, like pigal, it's not considered pigal. Chelev ha-migdashim, the milk that could be found in a carbon, in an animal that was brought as a carbon, obey tyrim, the eggs that are found in those birds, and chayav mishum pigal nasvatam. Says the Gemara Amr Beloza, pigal b'zevach, nespagal hashlil. The shlil and nespagal ha-zevach. Beloza is teaching us a very b'chiddush. That even though we just finished learning in the Mishnah, that a machshava on the shlil doesn't make the carbon into pigal. However, says Rabbi Lezer, that if you have a carbon, that you had a machshava's pigal on the carbon, that will affect the shlil, that if you'll eat from that shlil, it's considered like you ate from pigal. Similarly, says the Gemara, pigal balol, the spagla mayra. And here we're speaking about a bird. This is the way that we should explain. And even though we learned in the Mishnah that the halal of an animal is considered something that's not edible, the halal of a bird is considered edible. And therefore, since the halal of a bird is considered edible, so it's like the rest of the bird, the myra is what's known as the zefek. The way it works with a bird is when a bird eats, the food goes into a sack, a gullet, where the food is somewhat digested, and then it goes into the stomach of the bird. It's not typically eaten. And therefore, says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Lozer, if somebody had a machshavas pigal on the halal of a bird, it will affect the myra. But if he had a machshavas pigal of the myra, lespagel elam. One more case. There are a number of times that the Torah tells us to bring parim ha-nisrofim. Parim ha-nisrofim, there are a number of examples. On Yom Kippur, the par that the Kohen Gadol brings, par helm davish atzibur, spoke about Masech Tahariyas, par koi mishuach, spoke about Masech Tahariyas. All those cases, the amarin of the carbon are burnt on the mizbeach, like all other amarin, but the basar is not something consumed not by the people, don't eat the basar, nor by the mizbeach. And as we've learned so many times, pigal is only on something that's consumed. Teaches us the Mishnah, the pigal be'emurim, the spagul parim. But if you have machshavas pigal on the parim, learn as pagla emrim. So we have here a very fundamental machlokes of the Chachamim Rabbi Lozer. Rabbi Lozer says that even if there's certain parts of the animal that are not considered guf hazevach, still they're part of that animal, and if of the animal's pigal, it will affect them. And Rabbanan hold not like that. What says the Brisk Rav, the machlokes between Rabbi Lozer and the Chachamim based on? According to the Chachamim, it's very easy. You look, is it edible or is it not edible? If it's not edible, the rules of pigle, nois tamei, don't apply to it. According to Rabbi Elazar, the rule is guf hazevach. And once the animal, that we quoted earlier from Chaim, once the animal, once there was a machsheves pigle on the guf hazevach, the lal of a, the heim is not guf hazevach. The shlul and the shluli are not guf hazevach. But once there was a machsheves pigle on the guf hazevach, it's on, applicable to every part of that carbon. So it says the Gemara, we have a riot to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, it seems. Because the Mishnah says, they're speaking about machshavas pigel by paraman esrofim, says the Mishnah, v'shab, everybody's in agreement, that if you had a machshava on the basar of the parim, as we just said a second ago, that's not considered something that's consumed, and therefore it's not subject to pigel. It's not a machshavas pigel. My laugh. Isn't the Mishnah teaching us that chishabeh memurim, that if you did have a machsheves pigle on the emrim, nispaglu parim. So we see that once it has a pigle, it expands to all parts of the animal, contrary to what Rabbanan said. So that's not the way to understand that Mishnah. Chishabeh murim, nispaglu emrim answer. If there was a machsheves pigle on the emrim become pigle. But the basar, perhaps the Rabbanan are correct, never becomes pigle. Tashma, continues the Gemara with discussing the Shaila. It says, Parman Srafim, Sirim and Srafim, Mer Alam Bar Meshav Dusha. Once they're declared Kaidish, they're in the category of Kachi Kachim, and we know that by Kachi Kachim, as soon as they're Negdash, they're subject to Mila. Nishchatu, as soon as they're slaughtered, Hochshiru, they become subject, Lipasal B'Tful Yoyim, or Mechusel Kapurim. That if a Tful Yoyim or Mechusel Kapurim touch them, we spoke about the sugya just the other day, they become pasul, or belina. Says the Gemara, my laugh, what does lina mean? The lina is pasul. That you could have a machshavas lina, you could have the machshava of keeping it chutz l'zmanoi would affect them. So says the Gemara, what is the Mishnah assuming, what is the Mishnah teaching us? The shmamina, the miga, the pasul of belina, that since they're subject to the rule of lina, it seems possible machshava, that any machshava will apply to them. Says the Maraloi, it's not speaking about a machshavas lina, it's speaking about lina's emrim. That if that you left the lina emrim past the right time, it will be possible. Has asked the Gemara, how can we say that that's pshat? Hamiltani sefer, let's continue learning the sefer of that brisa. Kulam me'alambam, they're all subject to mi'ilah beisadeshen at shiyutach habosor, until the meat is completely disintegrated. Mechlal, the reisha belinas basir. So we see that the basir is subject to machshavas lina, so they is subject somewhat to pigel. Says the Gemara, midiriyah, that doesn't necessarily mean, that's not necessarily the way to understand that brisa. Hakadisa, Fakadisa, each part of the brisa is speaking about something else. The Reisha is not speaking about the Basra at all. The Basra of the Parim and the Srafim is never subject to the rules of Pigel. Sefer speaking about Pigel. Masa Rabba, ask Rabba, it says in a Mishnah, Ve'elush Eim Faglim, these are the parts of the animal that a Machsheves Pigel on them don't turn this animal into being Pigel. The Eim is Faglim, nor do they ever become Pigel in any way. Semer shebaroshi kvasim, the wool on the head of a sheep, the ser shebazokin tiyashim, or the hair of the beard of a goat. And as the Rishonim explained, even though the halach is that by carbon oila, the entire head is burnt with the hair, with the wool, but if they were separated, they're not burnt. V'or v'aroitif, we discussed this all in the Mishnah, v'akipa v'alol, v'amoyer v'atzomas v'agidim v'akanayim v'atolfayim, v'shel v'ahishilya, v'chel v'amakdoshim, the milk that's found inside the animal, u'beitzei tayrim, or the eggs found in the birds, and all of these situations, kulam v'lo'mefaglim, a machshavas pigle on them doesn't make the animal into pigle, v'lo'mefaglim, v'em chayovin v'lo'meshim pigle nois v'tamei. There's no din of pigle nois v'tamei in any of these parts of the animals. V'amalben v'chutz, and if somebody puts them on a mizbeach outside of the azara, it's not considered that he took kachim b'chutz. My laugh, loy mispaglim hazevach, They don't make the carbon into pigel when you had a machsheves pigel about them. And furthermore, so we see that they never become pigel. Says the Gemara, if that's pshat in the brises, it's a kasha and a belezer. Let's continue learning it. Ihoch yadik tani sefer kulam loy mafaglim v'loy mispaglim sulamali. Why is the Mishnah repeating it? Why is the brisa repeating itself? And ask the Gemara, if you think about it, l'tameich, the brisa keeps on saying ein chayav al mishum pigel hasulamali. Again, isn't that a repetition? El d'ayd by noiser v'tameich tana pigel. But it doesn't mean that if it became pigle, it wouldn't affect it. Rava Oma, Afanan Nami Tanina. Hashaychet as Mugdashim, if somebody shechs a carbon, Lechel Shlil or Shil Yubachutz, Loi pigle. Similarly, Vamalak Satarim Lechel Bayim Bechutz, Loi pigle. Vahadatani, and then we learned, Chal Mugdashim Beitarim, Echayam Alam Shapigle Tais Vatamei. Isn't that seem to teach us hashluva shel yichayovim that they can have pigel? Elalav shmami no kamachmas atzmon kamachmas azavach. If you had a machshavas pigel on the shlul and shulya itself, it would not become pigel. Kamachmas atzmon. If you had a machshav on the carbon, then the shlul and shulya will also be affected. Kamachmas atzmon. But if you had a machshav on the shlul and shulya, they won't become pigel. Shmami no. However, that's only as far as pigel is concerned. As far as noiser and tamei are concerned, even if your carbon becomes noiser or tamei, it doesn't affect the shlul v'shilya. And the achrayim all try to understand why. Why is there a difference by pigel? Let's say the carbon became pigel, then the shlul and shilya are affected. Whereas if the carbon became noiser and tamei, it doesn't affect the shlul v'shilya. So I think this is what he's trying to say. I saw Reb Chaim Issa Zalman in the Sefer Evan Ozel explains it as follows. Pigel is a category. And once a carbon has the category of pigel, it affects every part of the carbon. It may not be able to get the category of pigel under all circumstances, but once it achieves that category, it affects every part of the carbon. Whereas Noisav Atameh is an Isser on each Kazayah separately. And therefore, you can have one kazayas of this behemoth that is nicer or tameh, and the other kazayas of the very same animal won't be nicer or tameh. Tanan Hossam. Ubalim Mumin. The Mishnah there discusses the subject. We've discussed the subject previously. Mishnah Da Pei Dalet, that discusses the issue in Olu Lo Yardu. Under certain circumstances, a carbon was put, something that wasn't supposed to be put on the Mizbeach was put on the Mizbeach. The halach is that it remains, and certain times it's removed. So the Mishnah says that the opinion of Tanakhama is the Bali Mumin, even if they're already on the Mizbeach, they should be removed. Rabbi Akiva Machshav Bali Mumin. Rabbi Akiva says that Bali Mumin may also, the halach is of Allah Yardu. Comments Amar Rabbi Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When did Rabbi Akiva say this then? This way Tosfos explains. If it's a non-noticeable mum, it's a cataract. Hoyo v'ksherim be'efes. Because as we're going to learn, mum like that doesn't disqualify a bird from being a carbon. Furthermore, v'ushikad medeshes mumay. Only if the animal was hegdish before it became a balmum. But if it was a balmum before it became kaidish, again, following the explanation of the Rishonim, it's considered something specifically moss. How do you go and take something that's about mum and make it hegdish? Even Rabbi Akiva will agree that even if it's a minimal mum, it's a cataract, it has to be removed from the Mizbeach. Continues the Mishnah to teach us, since an oilo has to always come from a zachar, the command that it's always considered something that was not supposed to become hegdish, and therefore, even if it was put on the Mizbeach, Rabbi Akiva will agree it should be removed. Moser of Zeira, Hamalim and Bechutz, the Brisa says that if somebody takes any of these kabonis and puts them on the carbon outside of the Azara, Potter. Ham Iman, if he would take the mother itself, he'd be chayiv. Says the Gemara, what's the case that there's a problem on the mother, not on the child? Isn't it speaking about Bailus Nakeva, that you brought in the Nakeva? E Amrit B'Shlomo, so if we're going to say that Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion, Oilus Nakeva, and also Loitairid, that Rabbi Kiva will agree that Oilus Nakeva should be left on the Mizbeach, Haman Rabbi Kiva. That since it can be put on the Mizbeach, that's why anything that could be put on the Mizbeach, or be it only by the Eved, there's a loch outside the Azara. We understand this Bryce very well. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that Rabbi Kiva will agree, and Mosa Tairit, that an Oilus Nakeva also never has a place on the Mizbeach, so how is there a case that if you take this Oilus Nakeva B'chutz, you'll be Chayiv? Hamani. Says the Gemara, Ema, Hamal Mem B'chutz Potter, Me'emarin Chayiv. It's talking about a carbon chatos and a carbon shlomim, where the emarim of those carbonos are put on the Mizbeach, and it's teaching us that if you took those emarim B'chutz, you're Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, but let's understand this. How can we say that that's pshat? For mehen ketani, v'iman dumi the day. Isn't it speaking about the case not just of the emrim, even in the basar? Ella says the Gemara, the way to understand hamal me'emrim b'chutz potter. If you take from the emrim of the shlul of the children, it's potter because the children never belong to the mizbeach. Me'emr emrim, since they are put on the mizbeach by karmen chatzis, karmen shlomim, they come from the keva. If you put them b'chutz azara, you'll be chayav.